If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey everyone, it's Ed from the VG Embassy. It's almost June, and I'm sure you know what that means. It's almost time for the Masters of VGM event. This is an event where for the entire month, all of your favorite VGM podcasts will focus on one theme around video game music composers. This year, we're sharing composers that we feel might deserve a little bit more of the spotlight than they're currently getting. There's going to be a ton of shows participating. Let me see. I have that list here. Hey, Larry, you got that list? No, not the grocery list. The list of all the podcasts. Yeah. What do you mean you gave it to me already? No, I don't have it. I'll look. All right. Oh, here it is. My bad. All right, so it's going to be my show, as well as Nerd Noise Radio, Shujin Academy VGM Club, A VGM Journey, VG Emporium, ReVGM, Gameable Audio, VG Mania, Rhythm and Pixels, CRT Sound System, Volt Supreme Synth VGM Dream Stream Machine, and more. More? What do you mean more, Larry? Who's the more? No, I don't know. You put more on here. All right, well, I guess there's going to be more. If you want to find out who the more is, check out mastersofvgm.com on your favorite web browser, or hit up the tweets at mastersofvgm. We hope you enjoy the event.
You're listening to By Three They Come from Diablo 4. Released June 5th, 2023, composed by Ryan Amon. What's up, BG Maniacs? Welcome to a bonus episode of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and I won't be solo on this episode. We'll be bringing in a special guest here momentarily. But before we talk about that and before we do, real quick, if you'd be so kind, head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. It really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well, patreon.com/RPG era. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing, and if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continuing to listen to the episodes as they upload each week works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, Jegzax and Zanku. So hopefully we have quite a bit of listeners coming over from Play on Arrival, since Kyle and I just mentioned to you guys on this past week's episode that we would be focusing solely on Diablo 4 in this upcoming bonus episode of BG Mania. We didn't talk about it over on Play on Arrival this past week. It's the only game that I know Kyle, who we're going to be bringing into the episode after our first block of music as well, has really been putting time into since this game did come out earlier this month. It came out on June 5th of 2023, so a little over 2 weeks ago by the time you're hearing this episode. And man, have I just been captivated by Diablo 4. It honestly is a game that made me put Tears of the Kingdom to the side. I have been absolutely loving Diablo. I've been playing a lot of it with Sean. Him and I have been going through the game quite a bit together and doing the story missions and even a lot of the side missions and dungeons. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. We are going to be talking a lot about Diablo 4 here. But I do want to mention again, and I know we just talked about this if you listened previously, an episode of BG Mania finally did drop this past weekend on the 17th. Very late in the day on the 17th, but it did post before we hit Sunday. Our composer appreciation for Manami Matsume finally did upload, that Bedroth and I did earlier this month, and it was supposed to upload on June 7th, but I got busy. So like I mentioned, we are going to be having a lot of episodes upload here over the last 2 weeks of June. Three normal episodes, this bonus episode, and then Radio Hour at the end. So we are going to be overloading you guys with episodes of BG Mania. Hopefully everyone is able to consume all these and not fall behind. But I fell behind because of my job, so I apologize about that. We have a lot of fun music. I will say the soundtrack to Diablo 4 has been really nice. There is a lot of atmospheric music that I have kind of encountered playing through and going through the different worlds, and all of that is really sick as well. But there's a lot of music that isn't quite so atmospheric too. I knew this game was going to be great, and I am excited that the soundtrack is so robust as it is. There was like 50 plus tracks, I think, on the official soundtrack that was released over on Spotify, which is kind of what I listened to prep for this episode and pull the ones that I really, really wanted to highlight here on the show. That opening track that you guys listened to before we came in was called By Three They Come. And again, it was composed by Ryan Amon. That is the music that is playing in basically the opening cutscene of Diablo 4. We are going to try to avoid a lot of spoiler content because this game did just come out a few weeks ago. But that cutscene generally is pretty well known. So you have the, you know, your three explorers going into this crypt, I guess, and they're doing this summoning ritual, and they end up spawning Lilith, and it's pretty crazy, and that sets off the entire events of what happens in Diablo 4. I really, really think Blizzard stepped their game up with Diablo 4. The cutscenes are phenomenal. It's one of their best-selling, if not their best-selling game in quite some time, and honestly, they deserve it. The game is incredible. So I want to bring Kyle in. So to do that, I have to kick to our first block of music because I really want to talk to him about Diablo 4 and really just gush about this game because it has been incredible. And in a year that's just going to be phenomenal for video games coming off of Summer Game Fest and looking at just how stacked the rest of 2023 is. So let's get to the rest of the episode. Let's kick to our first block of music so we can bring Kyle in and start talking about everything else on Diablo 4. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Menu from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, and this particular track was composed by Leo Kaliski, Ted Reedy, and the only appearance on the soundtrack by Derek Duke. Thank you. Next up in this block, we're going to be taking a listen to Kyovashad from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, composed by Leo Kaliski. Last up in this block, let's take a listen to Gale Valley from Diablo 4. This released on June 5th, 2023, composed by Ted Reedy.
Thank you.
coming back in, we are now joined by the co-host of Play on Arrival, a weekly video game forecast. It is Kyle.
Hey, Brian, I wanted to invite you to listen to my new podcast about Australian pop disco groups, Bee Gees Mania.
How's that podcast doing? Does it lighten up the charts?
Oh, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Just like Diablo
Everyone's
4?
Loving it. Just like Diablo 4, baby. Just like the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, how about them Golden Knights?
How about them Knights, baby?
Winner. Yep, they finally did it.
We drove to dinner last night. There was nobody on the streets. Everybody was down on the strip because it was the parade last night. So
oh, really?
Everybody. Oh, yeah.
Is that the parade Frank was talking about in Discord?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why he, like, could barely, like, get out of the airport or wherever he was going. I don't know. Because everybody was down on the strip because of the Golden Knights parade, yeah.
Very, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, congrats to the Golden Knights. Vegas
yeah,
finally
Knights
has
go.
They finally have a championship.
Yeah, we sure do.
And then pretty soon you guys are getting the A's, right? You guys are
getting the A's soon. They just barely approved the building of the dome, the new dome that they're going to build. Have you seen this? It looks like a bubble.
Dude, it looks sick. It's replacing the Tropicana, right?
I believe that's the idea, yeah. Dude, the Tropicana is in...
Can you imagine the freaking traffic that's going to be down there, though? My God.
It's already awful. I steer clear of the strip as much as possible, but the Tropicana is in such a state of disrepair.
Oh, it's in shambles, dude. It's in shambles.
It is so bad looking. The sooner that thing goes, the better. But this new stadium they're building, it looks pretty neat. I actually like the architecture of it. A lot of people don't, but don't catch me down there. Baseball's too boring for me.
I love baseball. I don't need
to pay money to take a nap. I can do that at home.
It's somewhere I would be if I still lived in Vegas. And, you know, maybe one day the Raiders will be good, too. And you guys will get an NFL championship, too. A Super Bowl title.
We do have the Super Bowl coming here. This next year.
Yeah,
we're hosting the Super Bowl at Allegiant.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Are you going to go?
Good. No. Brian, how much money do you think I make, buddy?
A lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Not that kind of money. That's
enough to afford a nosebleed seat at Allegiant Stadium.
I've never even been to Allegiant Stadium. I've never been inside of it.
You should go sometime.
I mean, ideally, yes.
Yeah, you should go sometime.
I don't care about the Raiders enough to go, and I don't watch enough football to go, to be honest. I go to a few Knights games a year, though.
Oh, man, I'm glad you're here on this bonus episode. You actually are going to be joining me about once a month now on BG Mania.
Yeah. The infrequent co-host.
Yeah, whether it is a bonus episode or a regular... Next month, it's a regular episode. You and I will be doing a spotlight episode. I don't want to give it away. You know, we never really show our cards, so to speak, on what's coming up for BG Mania. But next month in July, you and I will be sitting down in the week between Bedroth's appearances and diving deep into a game that is coming out here relatively soon that I'm excited to play and listen to the soundtrack for. I know you're playing it as well, so it should be a fun episode.
Yeah, should be good.
But today, you and I are talking about a game that, man, I feel like we've probably already sunk 50 to 100 hours into by now.
Yeah, I should. There has to be a command to see how many hours.
Yeah, I don't know if
so
there
far.
Is. I don't know if there is.
I haven't even checked.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I should look.
But that is Diablo 4, a game that I'd mentioned at the beginning of the show. Came out on June 5th, 2023. It is available on PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One. It's pretty much available everywhere, except for the Switch. And honestly, has been a runaway success for Blizzard. And I think that makes me happy. I will say, I think that makes me happy. Because you and I have talked extensively in the past, whether it was on Play on Arrival, whether it was on our previous shows, Max Level or the Lebanon Games podcast. Either way, you and I have talked extensively about the downfall of Blizzard and just how poor a lot of their things have been as of late. And Diablo 4 goes completely against that. This has been a great game.
This has been a triumph for them. This is the Blizzard that I wanted and the Blizzard that I remember growing up with is creating these really, really epic adventures that are just as addicting as they are fun, you know, and this is the Diablo that I think I wanted. You know, I'm not sure there's a lot about this game that I would change. I've been having a total blast with Diablo 4.
And a lot of the guys that we've been playing with, I mean, they're real life friends of yours, right? But it's pretty much everyone that we game with in World of Warcraft Classic for Wrath of the Lich King and our raids, right? Pretty much everybody has jumped into Diablo 4. We've been randomly grouping up with one another. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Sean and I have been running through most of the main story missions together, and that's been a lot of fun. This game is the first Diablo that is a shared world, right? Like, you are seeing, it's very much in the vein of their mobile experience that also did release on PC, Diablo Immortal. You're seeing a lot of other people, like, it's an MMO, right? You're seeing a lot of other people in the world. Right. You're seeing them in the towns. And to me, this makes Diablo way more fun. It's not so much like I'm isolated on an island in this world. I love being able to see other characters running around doing things, doing events that I can just jump in and join them and do and get credit for. Like, that is so much fun. This feels like an MMO.
It feels like one, and yet is not one, for multiple reasons, primarily of which is, for most purposes in this game, you do not need to interact with or group with other players.
Yeah, you don't have to
play through the game solo, and I have done about 98% of my gameplay solo. There are some events and some activities that do require multiple people in order to complete, but mostly you can play through this game on your own. In addition, they don't really make it easy to join groups either. There is no group finder or party or lobby system. You have to just manually invite people into a group.
It feels like it was designed for groups of friends to play, not necessarily for randoms to
groups
play together.
Of friends, yeah, which that will change. I do feel that there's an update coming very soon where they will add some sort of looking for group chat or group finder utility into the game in order to make that more possible, because a lot of people are enjoying this game, and this game can be enjoyed, you know, to a greater extent by grouping up with other people. You also get a lot more XP by grouping up with other people.
You do.
And it does increase the challenge of the game as well. Things scale to how many people are in your group and what level everybody is. And so that is an added benefit to having people with you. And a lot of people like to play that way and enjoy playing that way. I know that I do. I like it. That even though I haven't, I would, you know, if anybody wanted to come and play with
me.
Well,
you partnered up with me and Sean once, right?
That's the only time I've partnered up with anybody, was that instance. Yeah.
And that was only for like an hour.
It was about an hour, yeah.
Yeah, roughly an hour or so. So you and I have probably had pretty drastic experiences inside of Diablo 4, you playing primarily solo, me playing primarily grouped up with Sean grouped up with Sean and Ben. I actually played quite a bit with Ben in the early hours of Diablo 4 and the early acts. I was grouped up with Ben quite a bit. And then all of the solo stuff I've been doing inside of Diablo 4 has just been the side missions. And I will say, there is so much to do in Diablo 4, but it doesn't feel overwhelming like Tears of the Kingdom. Like to me. Like, Tears of the Kingdom, I do feel like has more to offer than Diablo 4 in terms of the content that's in the game.
Sure.
Right? There is so much more to do in Tears of the Kingdom. And honestly, dude, I will tell you right now, I am terrified about Starfield.
I kind of am too. I got to be honest. After the 45-minute documentary they released on it, you know, I am kind of,
I think the game looks
to go
10 out of 10 incredible. I think the game looks like it could be a 10 out of 10, but holy fuck.
But I'm
looks
probably
more,
going
it,
to
it
go.
It looks like it has more in it than Tears of the Kingdom. And that scares me.
And I'm probably not going to finish Tears of the Kingdom until pretty close to when Starfield comes out. I'm only about halfway through Tears of the Kingdom. I've got a lot left.
You and I are roughly in the same spot. I think you and I have both finished two dungeons, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have not finished the third. That's where I stopped
and
took my break.
There's a lot of stuff I want to keep doing. Open world games like that, I don't try to hammer through them all.
Yeah, you're
once,
not rushing.
Or I will burn myself out. Tears of the Kingdom is a game that I'm going to play kind of continually over the coming months, and I will. And that's how I best enjoy that game. I don't burn myself out on it. I don't tire of it. Diablo is a game that I can't do that with.
Right.
But it also doesn't burn me out in the way that an open world game would. Right.
Correct.
Things happen at a much faster pace in Diablo than they do in a game like Tears of the Kingdom or Starfield or
and
you
you're
know,
so
one of these
overpowered in Diablo.
You are, yeah.
So you're not really struggling unless you're, you know, you're jumping in and fighting a really tough boss, and even
doing
then it's not that big of a struggle.
Yeah. Every
Whereas
now and
Tears
then
of the
you
Kingdom,
yourself,
a regular enemy can kick your ass.
Right. Every now and then in Diablo, you do find yourself in a sticky situation. You thought, "Oh my gosh, I wasn't paying attention. I need to focus a little harder on this group of mobs or this boss or whatever it is." Right. You do find yourself in those situations, but it's not every corner you turn. It's not every battle requires some focus. That's just not the way that it is. In fact, I'm regularly doing something else while I play Diablo. I've been watching some TV shows or watching Twitch streams or YouTube or something like that, something to have on in the background, because Diablo is that kind of game.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. I usually watch wrestling.
Yeah, you can split your attention while you do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's easy to do that. Like I said, I generally watch wrestling or any other show on YouTube that I want to check out.
Yeah, and it's not a knock on Diablo. I actually like that about it, right? I like that I'm having fun playing a game while also entertaining myself simultaneously with something else. I'm sure there's something about, you know, my little monkey brain that, you know, ooh, like, gotta do this too. Like, you know, reaching out for all the bananas in every direction. Can't, you know, the monkeys that you know what I'm talking about? They won't let go of the banana. You know,
yeah.
There's something probably bad about that, but at the same time, it's a different experience than playing something like Tears of the Kingdom, where I am fully invested in the moment. This game, I can watch a TV show and play at the same time, and I enjoy that aspect of it. It's a different kind of experience for me, also a good one.
Now, I will say, whenever like a major cutscene starts playing, or
yes,
I enter a new world and the music changes, I'll usually pause what I'm watching or turn the volume down on what I'm watching and listen for a little bit, because as I move to these new areas and just hear the, you know, the environments and the atmosphere that Blizzard has put into Diablo 4, as well as the ever-changing soundtrack and music. Each time you pretty much go into a new area, the music dynamically shifts. The town, there's so many towns with all the waypoints to, you know, to unlock and travel between. All the towns have their own unique, at least most of them, have their own unique music as well. So I'm usually paying attention the first time I go into a new area to really listen and hear what Blizzard has put into the game. But once I've been in there and once I heard it for a few minutes, I usually will go back to what I was watching and listening to Diablo just at a low volume. But I have been having a lot of fun, and I do want to talk about the characters we've been playing as. But before we do that, I do want to kick to our next block here. We've been talking for quite a bit, and I want to kick to another block of music here. So let's take a listen to one of those town themes I just mentioned. The name of this track is called Yelesna. Again, it comes from Diablo 4, released June 5th, 2023. This particular track was composed by Ted Reedy. Thank you. Next up in this block, we'll be taking a listen to Menestad from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, composed by Leo Kaliski. Last up in this block, we're going to be taking a listen to Ked Bardu from Diablo 4, released June 5th, 2023, composed by Leo Kaliski.
Thank you.
Coming back in, Kyle, you and I are playing two different characters, and actually Sean is playing a completely different character as well, which is kind of nice, because when the three of us partied up, you know, we didn't really have any crossovers. I chose to go Necromancer, which I assumed that I would. Sean went traditional barbarian, and you went a route that you don't usually go. And that was with Sorceress.
Yeah, I rolled a Sorcerer. And I didn't plan to roll a Sorcerer. I got to the character select screen and let Fate take the wheel there. I just went with the
Jesus,
vibes.
Jesus, you mean?
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah,
took the wheel?
Exactly, yeah. And Sorcerer was the way that I rolled. And I'm happy I did, man. I'm having a freaking blast with my Sorcerer. I am just about ready to create a second character that I can start rolling on hardcore mode with.
Which I will not be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. And that doesn't bring you any joy. Nothing brings me greater joy than the thrill of losing everything all at once forever.
Screw that. Yeah, no, oh thank you. Oh, even like, so okay, fun. You know, I love Souls games, right? I love my Dark Souls and Bloodborne and Elden Ring. And obviously those games are very punishing. When you die, you lose everything you have on you, but you have the opportunity to run back and get it. In hardcore right, Diablo right. or even hardcore Warcraft now, when your character dies, that's it. There's no running back to get your shit.
No.
And that is Sayonara, just not delete. Appealing to me. Yep, that is not appealing to me. That's why I don't play in classic mode in Fire Emblem, which is the permadeath. I don't do that.
Right, and I do.
You do.
I play classic yeah. mode in Fire Emblem. And so there's something that raises the stakes about those battles and every moment that you're on screen that I do enjoy. I enjoy that extra adrenaline rush. I don't know why, because I'm a masochist, but there's something rather fun about that. But yeah, the Sorcerer is the class that I've been playing almost entirely and really, really enjoying.
Yeah, I really want to check out all of these classes at some point. You know, just kind of starting characters and playing through the story as the different classes. Barbarian looks really fun. Sean has been having an absolute blast playing as that class. The Sorcerer was not in Diablo 3, right? That was from Diablo and Diablo 2. I don't think Diablo 3 had a Sorcerer class. Just like Barbarian was from 2 and 3, which wasn't in the original Diablo. The Druid wasn't in Diablo 3 either, I don't think. I think that was in Diablo 2.
Druid was in Diablo 2.
Yeah.
I can say that assuredly. Diablo 3 classes are Necromancer. Oh, it was a Wizard in 3. So Sorcerer.
Okay, so Sorcerer was 2 then, yeah. Because I do remember they had Wizard. Diablo 3 also had a Demon Hunter, which I kind of wish was in Diablo 4. That's generally the class that I go for is Demon Hunter. I imagine they will be adding additional, just like they usually always do, right? Like eventually they add new classes to Diablo.
Right. We've got 5 classes now. They've announced that there are at least 2 expansion packs coming. Each expansion pack typically adds a class. And so they ended with 7 classes in Diablo 3.
So what do you think we get? Right now we have Barbarian, Sorcerer, Druid, Rogue, and Necromancer. What do you think we get?
I think, I was talking about this with a buddy of mine. I do think that there are more melee classes coming, because right now we're kind of at 3 and 2 between ranged and melee. I think that we get a kind of support melee class, something like a monk or crusader. However, this game does tend to be a lot darker than Diablo 3 was. Just the tone of this game doesn't really lead to having a paladin-like class like a crusader.
Okay.
And so I think we might get something kind of the opposite side of that, like a Death Knight or a Blood Knight, something like
so
that.
So supposedly some merch leaked that hints that upcoming 6th class is going to be related to a Death Knight or a Warlock.
Right, and I could absolutely see that happening. Blood Knight, Hell Knight, something along those lines. I could see that being a very popular class and something else to pick up there. And then maybe another ranged class. Maybe get the Amazon back from Diablo 2. I think that would be a really good fit here as well.
Demon Hunter would fit too, but I think the
Demon
Rogue
Hunter
has a lot of
too, but
Demon
exactly.
Hunter element. Yeah,
the Rogue and Demon Hunter
has Demon
similar.
Hunter very, yeah, they baked kind of those two classes together into Diablo 4. Because you'll have to remind me, because I didn't put nearly as much time into Diablo 3 as everybody else did. Diablo 4 is definitely, I've already probably put more time into Diablo 4 than I did Diablo 3.
Right.
Did Diablo 3 have skill trees like Diablo 4 does? And to the extent that Diablo 4 does?
They were different. So it was different types of skill trees. Yeah, this is the first time they're doing this kind of...
This is like MMO skill trees.
This is like an MMO skill tree. And it reminds me a lot of the skill trees
from, I'm trying to get the expansion right. I think it was Warlords of Draenor in World of Warcraft, where you got a talent point like every 5 to 10 levels, and you just put that into one ability. Now, you don't have to do that here. You do get an ability point every level.
Every level.
But once you click into one of the abilities at a certain tier, you're kind of expected to pump up that or some of your other existing abilities in order to get to the next tier on time. And so if you're playing it in that way, it ends up functioning very similar to the way that the talent tree played out in Warlords of Draenor. I think it much better than that, because there is a lot more depth than that one. But functionally, it operates about the same.
And what's really cool is that each class has different builds that you can explore that really play completely different.
Oh, yeah,
And for me specifically, playing as my Necromancer, I have explored several of these builds to try to find out which one I thought was most fun. And I kind of landed on the Shadow Form Summoner build, which to me has been just absolutely insane, being able to pop Army of the Dead and having so many just minions and skeletons and bone skeletons and skeletal mages and golems following me around.
Have you been following any guides in
for builds?
I
have been.
I have not. And so for my sorcerer, I've been doing purely ice, all the ice skills, ice abilities, and buffing those up. I have no lightning, no fire, which are the other two elements that the sorcerer kind of controls. And I have no idea if my build is good at all. I'm going purely off, that looks pretty cool, that would be helpful, let's do
that. And that works! Like,
yeah.
You've gotten now into, I think you said you're Act 3, right?
I am in Act 3, yeah.
Yeah, you've gotten to Act 3, so you've done the Fractured Peaks and Skoe's Glen, I think is the...
Skoe's Glen,
yeah. So you're in the Dry Steeps now, I think.
Yep, I'm in the desert area, and I have not died a single time.
Yeah, and see, I die often.
I have zero deaths.
I die often, mostly because I tend to pull too many things thinking my minions will handle it, and they don't.
this is why you don't want to do hardcore.
I know. I tend to just, you know, I tend to rush, and I try to Zerg, and that doesn't always work out. But the other builds that I could explore and that I have explored on the Necromancer build, right? You can be a Bone Spirit, which, you know, you basically pump up your bone skills and it completely changes the way you play. You have like bone spears and bone things that you're throwing at enemies. The summoner I'm playing as has minions that are just all over the world. You have the Blood Surge Necromancer, which goes more into drowning your enemies in blood and kind of stealing health from them.
Right.
And then you have the Sever build, which is basically like Shadow Form and more scythes and that kind of stuff. Now, the summoner build does rely pretty heavily on scythes as well, which is a unique weapon type to the necromancers. They are the only ones that can equip scythes, which I think is kind of cool. And I really love the way that these characters look in Diablo 4. Like, necromancers look like necromancers, and their hairstyles feel like they would as a necromancer. Like, everything just aesthetically fits, and I think that's really nice.
Yeah, the character creation screen was a lot more in depth than I anticipated it being for a Diablo game. This is the most freedom we've had with creating our characters in a Diablo game ever, and so I was actually pretty pleased with that. I have transmogged all my gear.
I transmogged everything, dude.
Yeah, and yep. So my look has not changed in 15 levels, and eventually I'll go back to the wardrobe and kind of check out some new looks and see if there's anything I want to try on.
Every time you disenchant gear or destroy it, it adds new like transmog options to your wardrobe. Yeah.
Well, you get the
look that you're destroying, right?
That you destroy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. You have those forever, and you can toggle them on and off per piece at any time, which is also really nice. So
which I
see,
do.
Yeah, you can
because I like to see what the new gear looks like. Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So my guy looks like a desert hobo who's just kind of running around. He's not wearing a shirt, just because I think the tattoos on his chest are really cool. But I like the freedom that they've given us to play with how our characters look as well.
I am playing as a female necromancer. I do tend to like the way the females look in these games more so than the guys. Though there are some games, especially where there is like relationship building, where I will always play as a guy because, you know, for me, I think it's more fun to try to romance females than the other way around. Yeah. But if a game doesn't have romance options or things like that, I will just play as the character that I think looks the coolest. And to me, the female necromancers look way better than the male necromancers. So I went with that, and I'm having a lot of fun. I do like the way the tattoos look on their bodies as well. The hairstyles are sick. And the graphics in Diablo 4 are just very impressive, dude. Like, this is a gorgeous game. Sean and I were walking into an area last night in Act 2 doing a mission, and there, you know, it was raining. There was lightning just flashing everywhere.
Oh, man, yeah.
The way that the ground lit up by the lightning, like, and I'm just running it on, you know, we're all playing on PC. I think you actually, your graphics card is a bit worse than mine.
Yeah.
Actually quite a bit worse than mine. I think Sean just upgraded. His graphics card is now better than mine, but I'm still running on a 2080 Super that I've had for the last 3 years. And even on that, I'm able to run the game on high. Like, the game is pretty much maxed out on most settings except for shadows, and it is just freaking gorgeous, man. This game is special.
It looks really fantastic, and like you said, my computer components have not been upgraded in many years now, and it still runs and it still looks great on my computer. I do understand that I need to upgrade my computer relatively soon though, but as of right now, I'm really happy with the way it looks.
Yeah, same. We still have a bit more to talk about here on Diablo, but before we get to that, I do think it's time to jump to another block of music here on this bonus episode of BG Mania, where we are focusing entirely on the soundtrack to Diablo 4. Let's take a listen to, and I think this might actually be in an area you are currently in right now, Kyle, the Cinder Wastes. That sounds like it could be in the desert.
I haven't found it yet, but it sounds like it, yeah.
So the name of this track is The Cinder Wastes. Again, it comes from Diablo 4, released June 5th, 2023. This particular track was composed by Ted Reedy.
Thank you. it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming up next, we'll be taking a listen to Descent from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, and this one was composed by Ted Reedy.
Thank you.
Last up in this block, we'll be taking a listen to Hell from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023. This one was composed by Leo Kaliski. All right, coming back in, Kyle, we still have a bit more Diablo to talk about here. And I want to say, I really, really like what they did here with legendaries in Diablo 4. I like now I don't remember this being the case in Diablo 3, but again, I didn't actually get super deep into Diablo 3. I love being able to strip the essence off a legendary and put it on something else.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was kind of a surprise for me, because you're able to move some of the skills and attributes off of some gear and put them onto other gear for a relatively decent price, I think.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
Too expensive to do that. But it makes it so that you can actually regularly get upgrades to your gear. You're not waiting for that one piece just to drop this one thing that you need. Even though you're wearing a piece of gear that's 30 levels below you, right? You can actually take some attributes off of that gear and put onto new gear. And then you've got a decent upgrade and you're not losing. You know, because the things they give you on the gear are so important in this game. I've got gear that's 20 levels lower than me, because it says, you know, it grants one of my abilities plus +2. That's
yeah,
huge.
I'm wearing gloves that are probably 10 levels behind, because those particular gloves grant me 2 additional levels of both blight and my other main ability, like both uh-huh. my right click and left click abilities on my mouse. There's no way I'm replacing that anytime
soon. that's such a huge benefit. And so
those abilities are now 7 out of 5 for me. That's insane.
Exactly. So being able to strip those things off of gear, put them on new gear so that you actually have gear that's appropriate for your level while not losing that benefit.
And anything can become a legendary.
Yeah.
anything can become legendary. You just have to put the legendary essence onto the gear. You know, there is, and I think you and I both have the same legendary amulet that that enables when you get like a critical hit or whatever, you get a shield placed around you that if you stand in, you are immune.
I actually did replace mine.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So I did too, but I stripped the essence off and put that essence onto another thing.
That's smart. I should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is just insanely overpowered right now.
It's really like, great. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love being able to do that, right? So I found this amazing amulet that was so much better in terms of stats than the legendary I had on. So I just stripped the essence off the legendary and put it on the new one, and it's still legendary. Like, it's so cool that you can do that. I'm wearing like 5 or 6 pieces of legendary gear because I'm able to just put things on to the gear now and change things to
that's
the way that
do
I
it.
Want
that's
it
a smart
to change.
Way to do it.
Yeah. And then if I really like a piece of gear, right, like that 2 out of 1 that increases my abilities up to 2, then I'll upgrade that piece of gear to its maximum ability as well. Like some of them can go 4 out of 4, like weapons. Some of them, like armor, goes 3 out of 3. I will upgrade everything that I can. I disenchant most things. When I first started out, I was selling. But I've since switched over to disenchanting because you need abilities and mats way more than you need gold in this game.
You know, there are a lot of mats that drop in this game from scrapping gear and killing certain things, opening chests, opening the little caches they give you.
Foraging in the world now, like being able to like herbalism and stuff, just like Warcraft.
You know, I have not figured out what 95% of all those things are for.
Me neither. And I know what I need to upgrade my potions every time I need to upgrade my potions.
I'm an upgrade behind on my potions because I'm missing a couple of the mats and I don't know where to get them.
I found everything in the open world.
That's
everything
where
everything I found has been in the open world. Yeah.
You're supposed to. I actually have the mats for the next upgrade already. I'm like the next 2 upgrades.
The one
at
level
45.
Yeah, I just got my stuff for level 45 last night. I finally found the last one I needed. Like,
no,
in terms
I've
of,
got all that. Yeah. I need crushed beast bones. I've got 3 out of 5. I need 2 more. I don't know where they are.
They're going to be in Fractured Peak somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I need to go over there and farm them, I guess. But geez,
yeah, because
please.
I never left that area.
If they
and
drop
I upgraded
off those
all my
stupid
stuff.
Cows that charge you every single time they see you, I may not do it because those things piss me off.
I will say, man, the enemies are pretty vicious in this game. Anytime you even wander too close to an enemy camp or something, you'll just get swarmed. And I will say there is no way to control your minions as a necromancer, which does bother me a little bit because
that's how it's always been, though.
Yeah. Anytime they smell an enemy in the distance, they're charging off after. Yeah. I'm like, well, shit, I guess I gotta follow these guys. And I remember it being that way as well, but I do wish in Diablo 4 they would have added the ability to just have a little bit more control over how aggressive your minions are. Kind of like pets in Warcraft, right? Like hunter pets, you can put them on passive, you can put them on active if you get attacked, or you can put them on aggressive. I feel like your minions in Diablo 4 are always just on aggressive, right? Every time they smell something, even 300 yards away, they're like, oh, we're going this way. And I'm like, okay, we're going this way then, I guess. Now, have you played, because you were talking about it and you said you were interested, have you played with a controller yet?
I have not. I keep saying I'm going to. I haven't done that yet because for Diablo, keyboard and mouse are so natural for me. That's the way that I've always played Diablo, and it's the way I think I'm going to stick with it for now. Even though people are saying that combat-wise, the controller actually does feel really, really good. It's just getting through the menus that having a keyboard and mouse would be nice for, and you can always switch back and forth. There's nothing saying you can't do that. But no, keyboard and mouse remains kind of being my preferred method, I think.
So I haven't actually played with a controller yet either, but I think I'm on the verge of trying it out.
Okay.
Because I don't know why, since Blizzard has a controller scheme, right, where you just control your character with the analog stick and not have to click to move. I don't know why they didn't put an option as keyboard and mouse to be able to control with WASD.
Is there no option for that if you go into the controls?
There is no option. It is completely missing. And people think they may add it in a future update because a lot of people have been asking for it. I don't mind the click to move. Like, it's you know, I've played a lot of games that have click to move. It never bothers me. But as a necromancer and with the abilities that I have, which are click on the enemies to channel my main ability, which shreds corpses off of them so I can become more powerful and summon power up my minions and stuff, Oftentimes I'm clicking to do things and I'm trying to move out of the way of something and I'm clicking on an enemy and it don't actually move. So I think that I would prefer having a WASD control scheme or even just analog control scheme. I just don't know how it's going to feel with the abilities that I have as a necromancer playing on a controller. So I may actually test that out a little bit later today and just play as a hybrid scheme, right? Like when I'm actually running around the world or in combat, I'd be using my controller. But if I'm navigating through menus or something, then I would use the keyboard and mouse. I mean, I'm going to still be playing on PC sitting in the same spot. It's just, what am I currently having in my hands? Like, that's not a big deal to me to switch back and forth between the two. But if it doesn't feel that much better, then I will stick with just mouse and keyboard. But I'm a little surprised to why they didn't have that in there, because a lot of people have been saying they would have bought the game if it had WASD controls. Some people skipped it because it doesn't.
I'm trying to think if they had that option in Diablo 2.
I think they had it in Diablo 3 from what people were saying. Either that or there was like an add-on you could download or some script you could run that enabled WASD movement in Diablo 3. It does not work in Diablo 4.
Huh. Well, that's frustrating for people that want to do it. I think they're silly for wanting to do that. The click to move is far superior for a game like this, in my opinion. But
I think it depends on the class. Like I said, playing as a necromancer with the summoner build, that most of my abilities are channeled. When I'm channeling on a boss and then the boss starts doing a move that I have to move out of the way from, I will click to move. But there are times where I accidentally click on an enemy that's just off on the edge of the screen and I don't move. Like, I just start channeling on that enemy and then that gets me hit by things. So a lot of the times I've died, it's because I click to move and I'm actually accidentally clicking on an enemy that I'm not realizing and I'm not moving.
Yeah, I've been there.
So that is a little frustrating. So quite a few of the deaths I have were accidental because I just didn't move out of the way because I couldn't. Sure. So I do think WASD or even joystick controls would probably solve that for me. I want to see if that actually feels good. But I will say, man, I do think Diablo 4 is going to be a game that is talked about for the remainder of 2023 and beyond. This game will probably be around for the next decade or so. Diablo 3 came out 10 plus years ago. Blizzard takes quite some time between their games like this. You know, we're not going to see a Diablo 5 until sometime in 2030. Like, you know, that decade, not 2030 the year, but the 2030 the decade will be when we see another Diablo come out. This game's going to be around for quite some time and people are going to be playing it. But I think specifically for 2023, when we get to the Game Awards and talking about Game of the Year, I'm not going to be shocked if Diablo 4 is in the conversation.
You think so, huh?
I do think it will be. In terms of Jeff Keighley's official nominees for Game of the Year, I think Tears of the Kingdom is a lock.
But I
do think Diablo 4 gets a nomination.
There's a good shot this one shows up, honestly, with just how popular it's been and how well it's been received. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, I think Diablo 4 will stand a chance. So I'm looking forward to hearing what others have to say on Diablo 4. I'm obviously looking forward to seeing what Blizzard puts out in terms of DLC and new classes. This is a game I haven't even gotten my mount yet. You haven't either. You don't get your mount, I think, till sometime during or at the end of Act 4.
It's during Act 4, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're still running around. You and I are, you said you're, I think, 40 exactly. I'm 42. Sean's 37. None of us are even in Act 4 yet, but eventually we'll be getting there. We'll have our mount to run around, and that's just going to open up exploration on the map even more, right? It allows you to quickly run from one location to another. Right now, as we run from one location, we have to fight every single thing that attacks us, because otherwise they just follow you around, right? Like, you have to kill things as you go.
Right.
Once you get your mount, you can just run past things, and I think that's going to make exploration quite a bit more enjoyable. Again, when I'm trying to go just look around the map, my minions are having a mind of their own, wanting to fight everything they see. Whereas I don't want to necessarily fight everything right there. I just want to explore. So I can't wait to get my mount. I need to get that.
Yeah. I'm excited. And the beauty of Diablo is that there's always something more going on. There's always something else to do. You can always get stronger. And you replay on harder difficulties. You get in with friends. You do these rifts and get stronger and stronger. It's just so much fun. There's always, I told my wife, I've got a case of the Diablos. She goes, what do you want to play tonight? I said, I'm just going to play Diablo again. I can't. It's all I can think about sometimes is I just want to sit down. I want to relax. I want to play Diablo. And they nailed it with this, man. The feel of this game is exactly what I wanted from a Diablo game. They did it perfectly.
Now, this is obviously a podcast where we do focus more on the music, and I know we haven't really talked about the music much. So before you get on out of here and we close the show out, how do you feel on the soundtrack to Diablo 4?
I, like I said, man,
that I think that with a game like Diablo, tone is so important, right? Setting the tone for making this a game about demons, and in this game, Lilith, right?
This is a very dark game. This is the darkest Diablo I think we've ever had, by the way.
I think so. It's incredibly dark. I think it had to be dark in order to make it as effective as they wanted it to be, and as effective as it is. They had to have a dark tone. I think that this music perfectly sets the mood in just about every instance for that. I've been really, really thrilled. Sometimes I turn the music off on games like this, like I said, because I'd like to watch other shows or something in the background. I leave the music on for Diablo because it is such a good backdrop to this really bleak, gross world that they've thrown us in for Diablo 4.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying, like I said earlier, like when you go to a new area, the music dynamically shifts to that area. The towns all have their unique themes. I think the soundtrack to Diablo 4 is absolutely great. They really nailed it. All the composers that are featured on the actual soundtrack, which include Ted Reedy, Leo Kalisky, and then, of course, I did mention Derek Duke earlier, Ryan Amon, and we do have Neil Acree as well on one track, too. So a lot of big names at Blizzard contributing, especially Derek Duke and Neil Acree, to this soundtrack. Ryan Amon, kind of up-and-comer at Blizzard. I've been seeing his name attached to more Blizzard soundtracks as of late. This is a great soundtrack. Like I said, on Spotify, it is available from start to finish. It's like 40, 50-plus tracks deep. The entire thing is absolutely worth listening to. So if you like what you heard today on this episode, go check that out. Kyle, thanks for sitting down and talking with me about Diablo.
Thanks for having me on BG Mania, man. It's been a long time since I've been on the show, so.
It has been quite some time, and like I said, now you are going to be on here at least once a month going forward. We already have our episodes planned for July, August, September, October, and November. I already know what games we're talking about every single month when you're going to be on the show.
Let's get into December game.
When we talk about games
not?
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Anytime you're going to be on the show, right, the games we talk about are not featured on Play on Arrival, so it kind of gives a little bit of a special thing for those that like listening to you over there to tune into these episodes to hear us still talk about some of the games that you and I have been playing. So, but yeah, man, like I said, thanks for sitting down, and you will be back with me next month, about the middle of next month. You'll be here on BG Mania, so
I'll be here. Can't wait.
For now, if you want to hear more Kyle, go check him out weekly on Play on Arrival, since the Media Files is done. Rip to that show.
Rip to the Media Files. Something new in the horizon. I don't know yet. We'll see.
You're talking about it. I know. You might have a new show coming up here soon. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just like Bedroth kind of brainstorming a new podcast as well.
Yeah, we get antsy sitting here for too long.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we do have one more block of music to kick to before we close this episode out. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Ashava from Diablo 4. Again, released June 5th, 2023, composed by Ryan Amon. Up next, let's take a listen to Mother of Sanctuary from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, composed by Ryan Amon. And last up in this block before we close things out, let's take a listen to Daughter of Hatred from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th, 2023, composed by Ted Reedy.
Thank you.
And that, unfortunately, is going to bring us to the close of this bonus episode. We do want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to this bonus episode of BG Mania, where we focused entirely on the soundtrack to Diablo 4, made possible, of course, by RPGera.com. If you like video game music, and more importantly, you like us and you want to help us grow this show, check the description box for ways you can do just that, including a link to join our Discord community. Click it, join it, and interact with us. Taking us out of this bonus episode, we're going to be taking a listen to Confrontation from Diablo 4. Again, this released on June 5th of 2023, and this was composed by Neil Acree and Ryan Amon. Keep the music playing and keep it loud.
Din onnun exusia.